Heartbreaker. Absolute heartbreaker for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at Mosaic Stadium on this Thursday night as the Edmonton Elks with a 57-yard walk-off field goal, 36-34, the final. The Elks are 6-1. The Rough Riders are 4-2, and a 36-34 Elks win tonight. As you're listening to the Green Zone post-game show, Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, as we get to the game story on this one, which was an absolute offensive showcase. Cody Fajardo, I think the first quarterback since Ricky Ray in 2017, threw for over 500 yards in a single football game. Career high for him, four touchdown passes. Harris, 386 and four touchdown passes. Mack had 173 yards. Schaefer Baker had 185 yards. Offensive thriller. But Daryl, with the emotional week, I can only imagine the devastation for the Riders trying to win one for a teammate and having that be the conclusion.
Really, couldn't inject much more into that game, could you, Jamie, in terms of emotion, in terms of excitement, in terms of sadness, just the whole feeling throughout it, and the excitement of the game was starting to make everybody kind of feel a little bit lighter, I think, and the Rough Riders were playing exceptionally well. Two offenses who really went at it, tooth and nail. It was fun to watch the football game, but I guess it means you need a kicker who can kick something longer than 40 or 50 yards, right? That's what you need in the Canadian Field Goal League, and the Rough Riders don't have it. They missed a 46-yard field goal.
Hey, the one kid hit his 57-yard field goal. He missed the 46.
Yes, and Alex Hale missed an important one going into Pill Country, so maybe there's a mental block there because his coach doesn't let him usually kick in that direction, and that hurt the Rough Riders. They weren't able to do it. Some third down gambles that they were able to stop. They turned the football over. They kept giving themselves a chance and just couldn't put away the Edmonton Elks. And Cody Fajardo, man, 500 yards. He was on target. He converted that huge third down play late in the fourth quarter, had some reliable receivers, and made the plays that won the football game when they had to, and the Rough Riders weren't able to do that, really, when it came right down to clutch time.
So, you have the kicker. Missed a kick, made a 48-yarder, missed 46-yarder. They lose by two. Another part of this game story we're going to have to discuss is the offensive pass interference call that took away a touchdown by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders near the end of the game. What was that, Daryl? What is that? How is that offensive? They have a little hand fight 10 yards off the ball on a 35-yard pass, and you're calling that offensive pass interference?
Yeah.
That is an absolute joke. And if you're going to review and look at a play that's 1 yard and a bunch of people, automatic review. Why isn't that automatically reviewed?
I know. The God Center keeps inserting itself into football games. But at that time, when there's a bad call, the God Center doesn't step into the play. It was a horrendous call, Jamie. There's no way that should have been. At that stage of the game, any call, we always talk about the rules being kind of an elastic band, depending on the way the game is. And at that stage of the game, that better be a great, an obvious, without a doubt penalty being called against the Rough Riders. After Emelis makes a really good touchdown catch, then they decide, oh, you know what? He touched the player, the defender, on the way by. Let's give him a flag on that one and disallow that touchdown, which would have been a huge touchdown for the Rough Riders. It's just another one that went against them. There was one earlier when the God Center stepped in and it was an Elks fumble and they wouldn't give them the fumble on it. So I have no idea why they need a replay center here if they're not going to use it properly, if it's just going to keep injecting itself into the game when it doesn't need to be there and doesn't help when it needs to be there.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone post-game show. We're going to get started on the fan line. I'm interested to see how Rider Nation is taking this one tonight. Dallas, I think you called before the game ended. Dallas, what are you thinking on this one?
You know, you guys, I've said it over and over and over again, and I know based on the circumstances, we're probably not going to see anything happen this week. I'm going to start with the good, though, to try to keep positive, going with what you guys said about our offense It was amazing. Schaefer Baker was outstanding. That one-handed, I would say, highlight catch of this game. I think he made a couple of them. The guy was on fire. Schaefer Baker is outstanding, and I know a couple of weeks ago I called him Butterfingers. We all have bad games, and this guy hands down made up for it. Trevor Harris did really well, and I have to say I hope that AJ is going to be okay. I know he walked off, which was better than what initially we were thinking based on that twist. But yeah, you guys, the officiating ruined this game. Not only that, there was a point where Trevor Harris easily could have been against Edmonton, could have had roughing the passer. Again, Caleros gets called for light taps on the head, or you touch the guy the wrong way. You blow on the guy the wrong way, and he gets, roughing the passer. But Trevor Harris got nailed quite a few times. The refs never called anything. And then that pass interference was ridiculous. And the last thing that I'll say, you guys, I nothing will probably be done based on the circumstances. You guys know what I'm referring to. Trying to keep this more along the lines of the football game, though, we need a new kicker. Daryl, if you want to use Alex Fail, there's no other way around. Alex lost us this game. And I hate to throw that at him, but he did. If he made that kick, and did you see that kick, you guys? Mickey Mouse could kick a better ball. Like that ball barely, like it barely was up off the turf. That was ridiculous. And this, how many times does this guy need to have these brutal, like, 3-year-old kicks? The guy can't kick. Not only can he cannot kick past 40 yards, the guy can barely get the ball off the turf, like maybe 5 or 6 feet. This guy sucks. And I hate to use that term. This guy sucks. I will even go as far as saying this guy is potentially crossing being worse than Brett Lawther. You guys know how
well this season he is, because Brett Lawther's darn near perfect, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he still is. Yeah. Brett Lawther. But, yeah. There are people calling for him to come back. And you're not one of those guys, though, I know, Dallas.
No, don't bring him back. Don't bring him back. But all I'm saying is we need another kicker. Ideally, next week, there has to be something. Probably won't happen. But, like, I don't know, whatever you media people need to do, when the time is appropriate, please do something to ask Corey Mace, like, what are you going to do? And I hope he doesn't give the Mickey Mouse answer. We have faith in our kicker, because he's lying. He doesn't have faith, and nor should Rider Nation. But thanks for taking my call, you guys, and enjoy the show.
Thank you, Dallas.
Is there a kicker coming in?
I thought there'd be a kicker in the bye week.
I did, too. I thought with the bye week that they bring one in, because as you and I talked about, their strategy has changed. They can't rely on their kicker to get a 40-yarder or something more than 40 yards. So that means their strategy changes. That means get a new kicker. To heck with the ratio in having an import or an international player there. They got to get somebody who can get them some points. Kickers win games for you. One kicker I know as great as Cody Fajardo played tonight. Blanchard, the kicker, kicks a 56-yarder to win the football game. And meanwhile, Saskatchewan loses with a 46-yard miss. It's pretty simple. You lose by 2 points, swing it the other way around, and Saskatchewan gets the victory.
Yeah. He's one of four. He's 25% from longer between 40 and 50 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't try a 50-yarder. It's funny, though. One of his converts, a 32-yard convert, sailed right through the uprights and right through the back of the end zone. So he would have made it from 52. But he can't make the field goals that really need to be made. He doesn't use a tee, which is unusual, right?
That one had to be made. Less kickers are using tees now than back in the day. 1-877-332-8255 is the Green Zone postgame show. Brian, what are you thinking this evening?
Well, given the circumstances last week, you can, I guess, pin any positives or negatives on that. But last year we were guilty a couple, 3 times a game where we, you know, give up the long ball, you know. And I thought this year we'd done a pretty good job of cleaning that up. But, boy, this game, tell you, our secondary sure took a step backwards. And not just like, you know, where the guy was all over me, made a great catch. Like, there's so many of those long catches, man. Like, there was nobody even near them, like, for as far as coverage goes.
That Austin Mack touchdown, what a horrible breakdown. Whose guy was that? They're all looking around to say, who was supposed to be here?
So that's something we got to clean up next week. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, the secondary got absolutely torched. 500 yards passing. by Cody Fajardo.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a 500-yard passing game from a quarterback in quite some time in this league. You saw it tonight as we don't know the calls. We don't know the strategy of the defense. But on that play, when you see Jackson Ford and Marcus Sales both take the low guy, you know, one of them was supposed to have the high one. And nobody took him. So I you were sitting next to me. I called it from 10 yards. I'm like, he's wide open. 10 yards. He stepped like 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. And I went, he's wide open.
Yeah, and he had to wait for the ball. He came back to the ball. It was a little underthrown because even Cody Fajardo couldn't believe he was that wide open.
The communication was a little bit off tonight.
And we thought it might be better with Roland Milligan back in action, but it wasn't. It was the worst game by the secondary. And maybe one of the worst games by Edmonton's secondary, too, because both quarterbacks came out throwing deep. That was their strategies, and it ended up costing the Rough Riders way more than it cost the Elks.
Both quarterbacks threw four touchdown passes tonight. So we go to Les in Corning. Les, you're watching the game. What do you think?
Well, that sucked. Plain and simple. The God Center, they were going to make sure Edmonton was going to win that game. We didn't have a choice, and that was already decided, I figure, but I'll leave that alone. Harris missed a key throw there.
Is that the one the fourth quarter by the crossbar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Les, that was a weird throw, wasn't it? Didn't expect that from Trevor Harris.
No, and when he threw his hands on his helmet, he knew he had to kind of muff that one. But, that was a bad one. And, I was another guy expecting to see another kicker in there tonight. That lost us the game right there, that kick. And that's where it's going to come down to. Are we not going to rely on a kicker the rest of this season to go through?
You need one in this league? You don't need a kicker in this Canadian Football League, do you?
Yeah. Well, sure paid off for Edmonton tonight.
It did, didn't it?
Yes. And, just frustrating as could be the way things went. We should have won that. The coverage on that secondary, just terrible, terrible. Wide open throws. Cody, he was just picking them off left, right. And I'll say their offense is good against our defense. And I don't know. We still need work on our defense. They're good. They're good, but going up against Edmonton's offense, we got to get better. That's what I kind of figure, guys. But, have a good night anyway.
Right on, Les. Thanks for the call. The secondary was, I don't know, preparation was off, of course, this week. And the communication was just not there. Switches that were other. There was a lot of times they're looking at each other. It was like, where were you?
Yeah.
And where were you? And wasn't that the read? It was ugly tonight. But in the last couple of minutes, they just were owning the Edmonton Elks until really two or three passes in that drive. And, they left them a 57-yard field goal.
But pretty good coverage by the linebackers, hey?
Yeah.
Jimmy Thurman, Josh Woods are making huge stops and by the receivers short. How many times did they set up third down in the keep letting the Elks get third down because they could throw against his secondary. Can't throw against the linebackers, but they can throw against the secondary.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone as Jody is in Estevan. Jody, what do you think?
Well, I rarely agree with Darryl, but...
rarely do?
Rarely do.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, no, we've gone at this for over a decade. But that OPI was crap.
That might have been the worst offensive pass interference call I think I have ever seen in professional football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. I was screaming at someone who doesn't even care about football. She thought I was insane. I was like, look at it again. And... we won a championship with Coach Mace as the DC. So I'm starting to wonder about this guy.
Josh Bell, the new coordinator.
Yeah, and right? Because we won a title last year, And they had them, 3rd and 14, right? The game was over. Forget about the kicker. No one cares. Ask Belton. No one cares about the kicker.
Belton was texting us tonight. He's so mad at the kicker.
Oh, he's furious.
Well, yeah, but when he watches the tape, he'll go, this never should have happened in the first place. How did they get that first down? Like, I don't know, guys. You know what I expected, you know, considering the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I thought there's no way they lose this. You know?
No, it was an emotionally charged game, and good on the Rough Riders for how they responded to all of this tonight, too. Like, we should say that.
Yeah, they did in a horrific situation that nobody wanted to be in.
And let's not deny the Edmonton Elks are 5-1 for a reason. That's a good football team over there, and we saw one of the most epic games of the CFL season so far.
Yeah.
Like, West Final preview, potentially. That's how good these two teams are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Elks would have the same thing as the Riders if the Riders went on all the opportunity, like all the fumbles and bumbles they had at the end of the game. The Riders didn't complete. It was 2nd and 3 from the 3-yard line. Wide open receiver. You miss them. Trevor Harris missed him. Short armed it. Right?
Yep.
A bad OPI call.
Yep.
Those types of things. Those are points off the board. And then the missed field goal too. That's a lot of points right there that the Riders missed out on for various reasons, but the Elks can probably have the same debate. It was a fun football game to watch. It was entertaining as all get out. Frustrating as all get out for Rider Nation, though. 1-877-332-8255. That line is now open. Thanks, Jody, for the call and agreeing for Daryl after the first time in 13 years. We're going to take a quick timeout. We got Jared, Dwayne, Jason, Aiden. You're all coming up, and that one line is open right now. Hit redial on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis. Britton Gray's back in Mosaic Stadium. He'll have the post-game thoughts from the football team. This has got to be a crushing loss for the team. You know, Daryl Davis, they were trying to win one for Jaden Dahlke so darn bad.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Kian Schaefer-Baker after his touchdown catch? Came to the sidelines, put a 3 with his fingers, and then an 8, drew a heart with his hands and pointed to the heavens. You know that they were thinking about it all the way along. There was a delay of game penalty, right, that the Rough Riders took. They only had 11 guys on the punting team.
The first punt of the game, the Rough Riders had 11 players on the field and stood there and watched the clock tick to 0. They were called for delay of game. They only had 11 out there. Jaden Dahlke was on the punt team. He was the man who made the call.
Yeah.
He was kind of the captain of that punt coverage team. So to pay tribute to Jaden Dahlke, they did that. And it was discussed previous to the game because the Elks declined the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, why did they decline it? Yeah. And then we just saw one guy go onto the field and it was,
it's a little symbolic of Jaden Dahlke not being
the lost man formation. So, and then to have that 57-yard field goal walk-off for the Elks to win a gut punch for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in a 36-34 win for Edmonton, who are now 6-1. The Riders are 4-2 after the first third of the season. The fan line is open, of course. Thanks for your patience tonight. Jared is going to restart the conversation right now. Jared, your thoughts.
Well, it looks like we're a repeat because we're complaining about the kicker. And that's a good thing because that's all we did last year. So at least that's consistent.
Hey, yeah. If it's anything like last year, this team's destined for a Grey Cup championship.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I did notice? You know, like they went through a lot of stuff this week and stuff like that. But every bye week last year, they came off so soft. Like I was trying to get a rider prognostication for the defense was going to just obliterate this game, but wow, what an exciting game. And, you know, we weren't soft at all. Like, we were so soft last year coming out of the bye week. Guaranteed wins. They just blew us out. But, you know, they seem a lot more dialed in after the bye week. and they had all the reason not to be dialed in.
Yeah, they won. They lost to Edmonton after the bye week last year, and they got that was the bye week was the smoke game last year when they took on the Calgary Stampeders and lost on that delayed game. They did win one big bye week game, though. Had a bye week going into the West Final. they definitely came up charged for that one as beating the BC Lions. But as I said, okay, here we are talking about the kicker. Maybe that's a good thing, Jared.
Once again, and this was an unusual bye week too, right? Of course, it was shorter, and they lost a player, and the tragedy of losing two lives that they dealt with before in a pregame ceremony that was rather touching too. I thought so. It's tough, but they were in it. My concern going in was how emotional are they? Are they going to take penalties? Are they going to get lose their focus or anything? They stayed in the moment for the most part, didn't they? They suffered, a couple of strange calls and a missed field goal and gave up a long field goal after surrendering a couple of third down gambles and a weird underthrow by Trevor Harris. So some weird things happened, but they were there for the entire moment of the game.
1-877-332-8255. And now we go to Dwayne up next to Carrot River. Dwayne, your thoughts on a 36-34 loss to the Edmonton Elks.
Well, the first thing I have to say is I just wonder how big the smile is on Fajardo's face. He finally got a chance to play in Rough Rider land, and he showed the Rider fans exactly what he could do if he had a defense, which he never had when he was let go by the Riders, and he played a wonderful game. I'm a little disappointed that people think that that the Riders lost this game because of the referees, when all you have to do to win a game is be ahead 7 points, and they couldn't get to that point. And they need to be sharp. They've got to practice this week. And if they can go back to Edmonton and lay a licking on Edmonton, everybody will be happier than whatever. If they don't, they haven't learned much in this one. And my God, why in the world do we still have that kicker kicking? I mean, it's just, how many chances do you give a guy? Maybe they can't find a better kicker. I don't know. But my feeling was that it was a heck of a game, really wonderful to listen to. Of course, for Rider fans, their own team won, but it had some good plays. But it was we could have done better with just a few improvements.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. Both teams were kind of sloppy, especially late in the game on little execution things, especially the Edmonton Elks trying to. The Elks did their finest to try to gift wrap that thing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And then the Roughriders kept giving it back, kind of, right? They just couldn't finish things when they really needed to. So it was a strange finish, really strange finish.
Prototypical CFL finish. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Dwayne says can't blame the refs. I'll blame the refs on the offensive pass interference call.
But then
it was atrocious.
That's true. Then the God Center came in and repositioned the ball and give the Rough Riders a turnover.
And I still think they didn't push it back far enough. I think they still gave some generous spot there to the Edmonton Elks on that third down stuff.
And that one was that Javon Leake on a return dropped the football before his butt hit the ground, but the God Center wouldn't give that one to the Rough Riders. So a couple calls went against the Rough Riders. Of course, it's always up to the team to score more points, and if they had kicked another field goal from 46 yards, which should be a makeable for any Canadian field goal league kicker, then they would have won the football game.
Now let's go to Jason in South Dakota tonight. Jason, your thoughts on the Riders' loss to Edmonton?
Oh, what a crushing loss, but overall, what an exciting game, eh?
It was exciting, yes.
Yep.
A couple things, First off, the offensive pass interference call. We all know the officials in the CFL struggle. Until these guys get paid an actual decent amount of money, this is unfortunately what we got to live with in the CFL. The question that I have bigger and bigger picture, though, is this replay center. What is their role? When do they actually get called in to make play calls and stuff and overrule things? It just seems so ambiguous. I think that's the biggest concern on the refereeing and the calls in the game. With regard to the kicker, it sucks. Like he's like the goaltender in hockey, man. Everyone else on the team can suck, but when he blows a big play like that, man, the finger's pointed at him, and he's got to make those plays. He's got to make that kick. There's no doubt about it. He's a pro football player, and he's not getting it done. But doesn't Brett Lawther look great right now if he was back in the green and white, eh?
Yeah.
But the last comment that I got to make, though, is why are we trying to outthink ourselves? We got the Sasky assassin, Tommy Stevens, sitting on the sidelines in numerous occasions when we are inside the 10-yard line, when that guy can just bulldoze through defensive lines and get us big yards. I didn't understand why we were pulling him out of the game on several occasions when we had just a couple yards to go inside the 5. I think he is an X factor in the CFL that no other team possesses, and I don't know why we don't use him in those situations more. I think we're outthinking ourselves on that. And lastly, I just want to say hats off to the Rider organization for what a classy way to honor Jaden Dahlke and the other individual that was unfortunately killed tragically in that car accident. Just the one thing that I feel the announcers missed out tonight by saying we should have them in our thoughts as we move forward. I think we also definitely need to have them in our prayers. So that's the last piece I want to add for tonight. I'd be curious on your guys' thoughts.
Jason, thanks so much for the call. Jaden Dahlke, Bhishma Rajaguru, both honored before the game. Both the team did. Of course, they have so much footage of Jaden Dahlke for a video tribute. But the fact you could tell they did their work to pay tribute to Bhishma Rajaguru, who lost his life needlessly on a highway as Jaden Dahlke was the driver of the SUV going the wrong direction on Highway 11. And a lot of credit. I don't know how many organizations would have put the effort forth that the Rough Riders did to make sure they had the videos and everything of Bhishma to make sure he got almost the equal time for a tribute as Jaden Dahlke did.
And they put him on first too, right? Which was a nice gesture too. This team, I know there's going to be a lot of people angry, and there's a lot of injured and grieving and mourning people around, but the Rough Riders, they didn't want what happened to happen. Nobody did. It's horrible that they've gone through it, but the team, the organization has a conscience. That's what I keep saying, right? They realize that there are other people involved with this. How many people are damaged by this and hurting from this? And the Rough Riders, to their credit, reached out to make sure that they gave him the attention that he deserved. To, you know, you're right. Everybody knows who Jaden Dahlke is. Everybody in that stadium would have. But the innocent victim also needs a tribute. So the Rough Riders did what they could have done, the best they could have done in a situation that nobody wanted to be in. So that's a very good phone call. I think he touched on all the subjects and everything that we've been talking about tonight, because there's a lot went on in tonight's football game, before tonight's football game and during the game, and everything was overshadowed or in the shadow of a tragic traffic accident. So the fact that we've moved past that, not moved past it, you don't have to move past it, but are taking a step further away from it, that's part of grieving, part of mourning, and that's part of what we're doing here.
I think a job well done in a very difficult situation. I know the team might take a little heat from those who, with the Jaden Dahlke situation, thought, okay. But again, we deal in fact right now, and there's one big piece of the puzzle that has not become fact yet on this collision. As much as many people are presuming it to be true of what might have happened that night, that fact's not there. And with some of his family member, I believe were there, his teammates wanted to pay tribute to him. But the team made sure that Bhishma was not forgotten tonight. You could sense it from the get-go. He was definitely there. And some of his people that he knew were brought down on field level to be there for that tribute as well, invited by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Reynolds, the president, spent time with both families. We rode the elevator up with him towards off field level. So, yeah.
The Riders did their best, and that's all you can ask in a very troubling time. As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, all right, as we get back to what happened in a 36-34 game, Jason was the first to bring up something I was thinking but haven't brought up yet. 2nd and 3 from the 3. and you don't go Tommy twice.
Is that right at the end of the second quarter?
No, at the end of the game.
Oh, okay.
At the 3 yard line.
Yes.
Second and three. On the short arm. Yeah, he was open. There was a play there, but aren't you thinking of going Tommy Kent?
Yeah.
Two plays, 1.5 yards each?
Late in the game. Some people have asked about the end of the second quarter, and I thought, no, Tommy Stevens shouldn't be in. They should be throwing the football with 19 seconds left. But that time, yeah, they had plenty of time to run the football with unstoppable Tommy Stevens. Yes, I agree with the alternative strategy. Yep. They made the wrong calls at that time of the game, which is unusual because they had called a pretty good game up until that point, but that's the time when you have to turn it over. They've been successful with Tommy Stevens running out the clock. Why can't he run into the end zone to get that crucial touchdown at the end of the game?
Jamie and I, Daryl Davis with you here on the Green Zone. Aiden is on the line. Aiden, what are your thoughts on this Thursday night?
Hey, fellas. First of all, I just want to say that I do appreciate the commemoration to Bhishma, and I thought that was fantastic what the Rough Riders did, the organization. You know, obviously that was has been a very tough week for the organization, the CFL as a whole. I thought they did a very good job at that. Obviously, there's so much toxicity online, which is ruining the moment. But look, just to get back to the game, people have talked about this already, but that field goal that Alex Hale missed toward the end of the game, was that blocked or was that just a horrible kick?
No, he shanked it.
He shanked it. Okay, okay. So, first of all, that is a problem. They need a new kicker. Vincent Blanchard is not, you know, he's no Paul McCallum, but he's been a consistent kicker for Edmonton. Other teams have seemed to have found consistent kickers. I don't know why the Rough Riders cannot. And also, getting back to a point that another caller made, there were two opportunities that the Riders had within, I believe, the 5 yard line. They did not use Stevens. I know it worked out one time. They got a touchdown right before the half ended, but man, I don't understand why they would not use Stevens with the time and the goal line situation that they were in toward the end of the game. You know, you needed 3 yards. You could have gotten it in two plays with Stevens, but instead they had Harris throw it, and unfortunately he made a bad throw. Harris is a great quarterback. He's one of my favorites, but I don't understand why you would try and put the entire game into his hands when you know that Tommy Stevens can do this. And also, I agree that the pass interference was completely ridiculous, offensive pass interference, one of the worst calls I've seen in this league. And just one more point I'll make is that Ouellette, every single time they give him a ball, straight up the middle. Like, why don't they give him a pitch? Why don't they try and get him outside, do something? Straight up the middle. I know he got hurt. I hope he's okay. I know Bertrand Houdon came in and basically did the same thing, but it's like I don't understand the play calling sometimes. And I love Mark Mueller. Obviously, the history there is fantastic. I love that he's here. But sometimes I really do wonder about his play calling. And the last point I'll quickly make is that I believe this is the first 500-yard passing game that I have seen in this league since Mike Riley in 2013. Am I correct on that?
I think it's Ricky Ray in 2017 threw for 500.
Okay. Well, they won the cup that year with Ray, so, you know, that was one of his good years. That Trestman, wasn't Trestman coaching the team that year?
Ooh,
yes.
Yeah, yes, I think so, yeah.
Well, you know, quarterback whisperer. But anyway, it's very rare to see a 500-yard passer in this league. It was great to see. But my goodness, that Rough Riders secondary needs work. I'm wondering if Corey Mace wants to take over the job from Josh Bell again. But anyway, just a couple of my points there, guys, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Aiden, thanks so much for your call. A great one tonight on the fan line here on the post-game show. I just looked it up. It was week one. Ricky Ray threw for 506 yards against the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 2017.
We've had that point brought up. Aiden brought up, and somebody called one of our callers earlier. Josh Bell taking over as defensive coordinator. We kind of thought that's a great idea because Corey Mace needs to concentrate on being the head coach. He put together a defense and won the Grey Cup, obviously, in a hurry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were the second best team for points allowed and the second best team defense for yards allowed coming into the game. But the calls that are hurting them seem to be in crucial situations when maybe a different defensive coordinator would call a different play. What are your thoughts, Jamie? And I wonder what some of our callers think. Should Corey Mace start taking over the play calling again?
I'd have to go back to last year. I'm sure there was a few duds by the Riders defense last year.
Yeah.
They've been
pretty good.
They've been the second best defense in the Canadian Football League up until this game.
Last game against Hamilton, they were unbelievable. They were dominant.
Yeah. Like back quarterback and Jake Dolagala, of course, but they were dominant. But before that, they were top four defense all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers will change that probably significantly a little bit because it's so early in the season. But I'm not throwing Josh Bell out yet. There's no way.
Yeah, he's learning. Well, look at J.C. Sherritt. Look at the defense he's calling now. He's just the second year defensive coordinator for the Edmonton Elks. And that defense has gotten better too. Although they got picked apart a little bit tonight too. Though it's funny, we're talking before the game about the two strong defenses, and both teams come out throwing deep against teams that are supposedly have really strong defenses and really strong secondaries. So interesting that that's the way the game went.
Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis with the Air in the Green Zone postgame show on this Thursday night. Keep the calls coming. We do need to take a quick time out, but before we do that, we need to do the play of the game.
Maybe it made you. It might have made you, or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
I'm interested on this, Daryl, because you have about 90 to choose from for the play of the game.
Doesn't it have to be the last one?
57-yard field goal for the win?
Because apparently kickers in this league can kick over.
Or is it the 46-yard miss?
Well, I appreciate successes rather than failures in this business, right? So good for Corey Blanchard to... For the Edmonton Elks to kick a 56, 57, it's whatever yardage. Yeah. I think 56 yards to win the game. It was really weird, Jamie, that we were talking. What took so long to make that play? It was like four
minutes. Someone just texted that in. Boy, why did it take a minute 45 for the ref to get the field goal attempt
off? Right, because late in the game, the referees take over, which they always take over anyway. But it's a 35-second clock until the last 3 minutes. And then the referees whistle it in, and then you got 45 seconds, and away you go, right? So, or not 45, so you get 30 seconds, but away you go from there. And this one took forever. It's like they let Blanchard go up and check the wind and make sure, read the putt and decide which way that everything was breaking, and then let him kick the 56-yarder. That's the play of the game, by the way. Of course it is. It's the game-winning points by a kicker who made the kick. You're right, we could have gone with Alex Hale missing a 46-yarder, but let's give credit to the guy who made the kick because it ended up winning the football game for a team that missed a shorter kick.
Vincent Blanchard.
Sorry, I call him Darren. Darren's an old lineman. old lineman. Right?
He kicks the game winner, 57 yards, 56 yards, tomato, for a win. There's your play of the game. Keep the calls coming. That line's now open if you want to fill it by hitting redial on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis. And you, the fans, here on the Green Zone post-game show, thank you so much for your patience tonight. We have a full bank of calls, and we will for a lot of this evening on a Thursday night. 36-34, Elks win with a walk-off field goal by Vincent Blanchard for the Elks to win a heartbreaking loss for the Riders. As we go to Brendan in Lumsden. Brendan, what are you pondering on this Thursday night?
Well, guys, I mean, let's make it real simple here. We need a kicker. We needed a kicker last year. We need a kicker this year. This is heartbreaking that we lost by what we did. And secondly, I mean, we came out of the halftime really flat. You know, I mean, the game was a heck of a game. Don't get me wrong on that. But, you know, we need to get points on the board. We can't be, you know, going two and out and expecting a kicker to win us a game. Other than that, I mean, we have to work on our secondary as well. I said this last year every time I called in after every game. We're getting picked apart on those deep throws, and nothing's changed this year. The only thing that saved us was we're Grey Cup champs from last year. We need to get that dialed in, and, I mean, we do that and watch this team go.
Well, it's interesting, Brennan, and thanks for the call tonight on the postgame show. Alex Hale deserves the heat for missing a kick, but give up 500 yards passing and you're blaming the kicker, right?
It's easier.
It is.
To say one guy blew it, but it was a whole
bunch. But what about the blown coverages that allowed for two Austin Mack touchdowns in that game? Yep. So share the wealth. A short arming a wide open pass by Trevor Harris. Share the wealth. Guy or a gal, I forget who was on that sideline. There was a female official tonight, so I don't know which side it was. Whoever threw the pass, offensive pass interference, it's absolute garbage. That call is absolute garbage.
It was.
It should never even be a thought. There was no real shove. They collided with each other, hand fought, and he ran by him. Like, even what tells me if it's offensive, even the defensive player wasn't like, oh, he pushed me. It was like, oh, I blew it.
Yeah, he thought he blew the coverage because he'd given up a touchdown, and what a huge touchdown that would have been. Instead, a made-up offensive pass interference call.
It's very much a team game, and every part of the team can share this one. But when you lose by two and the kicker misses a 46-yarder and he's missed a few from outside of 40, I understand your frustration. And I also agree. You have to bring in another kicker. You have to see who else is out there. Like, please, to see if they're more consistent.
And the reason they did that, he wasn't necessarily the best kicker in camp either. They kept him because he's a global player, right?
It feels that way. Yeah. Kim had a better leg than he did.
Yes,
but he's American. He was an American kicker.
So they would have had to change their ratio. I think they would have for sure one more win for sure if they changed the ratio. So I think it's probably worthwhile.
All right, as we continue, Brendan, thanks for the call tonight. Keith in Saskatoon. Keith, what do you got for us evening?
Oh, my gentlemen. You know, attending games in Mosaic, I've been attending games since the early 70s as a young boy from Melfort. I think attending games at Mosaic can be both exhilarating and excruciating. Tonight was one of those nights. It was a fantastic game, and I love the entertainment. Wrong team won. I'm going to go in the minority here. I know a lot of people are ragging on Alex Hale. In fact, last week I said we needed some hail insurance because of all this hail damage. I'm not going to hang it on Hale tonight. I'm going to hang it, folks, on our defense. And let's look at tonight's game. Let's look at the stats. In the second quarter, the Riders gave up a three-play drive. In the third quarter, they gave up a four-play drive and a one-play touchdown drive. Let's look at the first third of the season. Yes, they did good against Nathan Rourke, but VA tore apart in Calgary. Chad Kelly blitzed them in here when we had the Parade Blizzard game. Yes, we won against two guys named Jake, but Mayer and Dolagala aren't going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame tomorrow afternoon. And now we got blitzed by Cody Fajardo. So to me, a lot of people, again, are going to talk about the kicker, but to me, it's the defense. 510 yards of passing, no ability to get a sustained pass rush, no ability to really hold Edmonton until late in the game when there was that sense of urgency. And final point here, I agree on the call to have Harris throw the ball on second and third late in the fourth quarter. I know he makes that pass to Johnson 99 times out of 100. But I didn't like putting Stevens in because check the stats tonight. Stevens ran the ball three times for 4 yards. So I know against Ottawa and Hamilton the past weeks, he had some 10 to 50 to 20-yard carries. To me, Edmonton was controlling, so I'm not convinced we would have made the 3 yards on the two plays. So, again, I love the call that we made in terms of Harris going to throw to Johnson. But to me, Harris makes that pass with his eyes closed. Going forward, we play Edmonton three times. So we need the ability to win the tiebreaker against them. And to me, it's going to come down to fixing this defense. Yes, I'd like a better kicker. But to me, this defense against top-shelf quarterbacks has looked very suspect through the first third of the season. Go Riders!
Keith, thanks for the call, and I can tell you were screaming as hard as possible at the end of that game. I can really feel the voice there, kind of, Keith.
Kind of raspy. We were wondering about Trevor Harris' short arm in that, because that doesn't happen very often. Do you think, I know that he was a little bit away from the crossbar, and Cody Fajardo hit the crossbar earlier and pumped it up for the Saskatchewan fans who remember the 2019 Western Final, right? But do you think Trevor Harris was a little distracted and tried to throw under that crossbar? I know he was a little bit away from it, but do you think that's playing in his mind a bit?
I'm not sure, but I will say that when I looked at that play, I was just wondering if Johnny Johnson, if he was supposed to come back a little bit, and he was reading him to come back towards him, maybe.
And he
potentially
was headed back a little bit, but he wasn't. He didn't come back.
But still,
as much as he
even
should.
Then, that was.
It was low for
it
even
was
a
low
receiver
for that
back,
too.
Yeah. It wasn't the way Trevor Harris usually throws it. A football. Yeah, he short armed it. Maybe he thought the crossbar might have been the way, and he was trying to throw underneath it. Johnson is the least experienced of all the receivers. Maybe Johnny Johnson is. Maybe he didn't get back the way he should have. A whole bunch of things. just all at the wrong time for the Rough Riders.
All right, let's go to Terry up next. Terry, your thoughts on a Rider loss to Edmonton?
Well, the loser of the game, that's for sure. But I'm not going to keep kicking the kicker. He's been kicked enough tonight. But I just wanted to say how to bring up this a little bit, but how much Cody Fajardo has matured since he left Saskatchewan. Like, just in the interviews, pre-game interviews, like when you were talking with him there, Jamie, and then just, like, in the game there, like, it just blow for blow, back and forth with, you know, the two top quarterbacks in the league. And I often wonder what if he would have stuck around in Saskatchewan a little bit longer, but he, you know, he just didn't have maturity back then.
Well, yeah, and Cody's admitted as much. Saskatchewan matured him for the better once he was able to leave and kind of look in the mirror a bit. In the moment, it was hard because he was, you know, scrolling through his mentions on social media so often and paying attention to what I had to say about him, which is ridiculous. And I said on the radio, Cody, stop listening to the show and stop checking your ads. Like, stop it. You're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paid to have an opinion, and you don't have to like it, and that's fine. And also, don't check your mentions.
It's a tough place to play quarterback.
Exactly. He made it tougher on himself here. So, yeah, Terry, he has matured.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to Montreal and winning a Grey Cup also helped him do that.
Yeah, playing his best game ever in the Grey Cup game, right?
No, although, he might have played his best game tonight.
Might have played his best one tonight. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, what a performance by Cody Fajardo. And this, that, and the other thing, Cody moved on. He won a Grey Cup. The Riders moved on. They also have a Grey Cup with Trevor Harris. So it worked out for both on that.
The last play, just before the kick, the game-winning field goal, Cody Fajardo's on the bench and throwing a water ball around. He looks like he's pouting a little bit. That didn't look like a very mature Cody Fajardo at that point.
Yeah, he still is emotional. He's got some – you know Cody's got fire.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of tougher and more emotionally invested than Cody Fajardo when it comes to winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's winning football games. They're 6-1 are the Edmonton Elks rematch next week. A lot of people in Edmonton, I'm noticing on my social media account, like broadcasters in Edmonton, yeah, they're like, there better be 30,000 people at Commonwealth Stadium. Like Jay Onright says, there better be 30,000 people there.
It's tough to lure people or to entice people or tell people they got to go to games, right? If you want
show
to
them that,
yeah,
tickets are a lot cheaper at Commonwealth than they are at Mosaic right yeah. now to get in.
Yeah,
so
they broke 20,000 last game at Commonwealth State, right? So that's a good sign. They announced 28,513 for tonight's game
on a Thursday night. That was a great crowd.
It was a beautiful night for a football game, and maybe a lot of people coming because they're emotionally invested in this team and this game because of everything that's been going on. So a decent crowd. Will they get 30,000 in Edmonton? I don't know. There'll be some Saskatchewan fans going there, I'm sure. It's a weekend game, but that's a big crowd and a big jump for the Elks.
All right. As we get to, who's next? Austin in BC. Austin, what do you think tonight?
Hey, guys. I just phoned with an idea. I think that it might be in the best interest to hide the challenge flag from Corey Base and then give it back to him in the fourth quarter. Because I just hate when the coaches use their challenge flags early in the first half or first quarter. Because he could have used that to overturn that BS offensive pass interference. It's just frustrating.
I wonder if they would overturn that one. I don't know. Even though we think it's a horrible pass interference call, I'm wondering if they think it might have been. The God Center, who knows what the God Center thinks?
Well, that's the other thing, Darryl, I was going to say. You're so negative about the God Center, but they sure saved us on that third down spot.
They did on that one, too, but they missed the one on Javon Leak with the fumble on that return. They looked at it on the challenge and that's the one you're referring to, right? I thought that was a good challenge, and I thought the God Center botched that one. The God Center botches most of them.
You don't get your challenge play back, though, if you throw it win, do you?
If you win it the first time, you do. Yeah, you get another.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, I just feel it's such a waste in the first half. When the games come down, it's so close, and the refs, you can't trust them. But anyway, guys, thanks a lot.
All right on, Austin. Thanks for the call on this Thursday night. We're going to take another quick timeout. We still got calls on the line and one line open right now for you to dial 1-877-332-8255 as we continue here on the Green Zone Postgame Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.